And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish for your weekend update. Before we get started, don't forget you can get this pod with no ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA Show. Huge playoff implications over the weekend, Keith, and possibly no two teams had a more triumphant or a more woe-filled weekend than Boston and Denver, who met up on Sunday. Listen, Boston's weekend after winning against Denver, huge. I mean, they blew them out, Keith. It wasn't even close. After the weekend, they are now fourth in the East, and Denver, by dropping a heartbreaking overtime game against Cleveland on Friday, and by getting mollywalloped, let's just face, I mean, they got destroyed in this game against Boston. They are now in the play-in, Keith. Wow. How the turntables.
How the turntables indeed, Dave. Yeah, the Nuggets dropping down to seventh. A lot of credit goes to the Timberwolves, who don't lose. They just haven't lost recently, and they keep taking care of business. And the Nuggets, I mean, Jokic looks tired, sure, but when you have to face the Boston Celtics kind of by yourself, when the next best offensive option on your team is Will Barton, a player who wouldn't be starting on your opponent's team, and that's like your next best offensive option, like who's like the second best Nuggets player is Aaron Gordon? I mean, it's a tough ask, especially playing the Celtics, who've been incredible for the past 3 months.
Yeah, the Boston Celtics, I mean, you know, we talked about this on Nerder, and Seth had us try to talk him out of saying that the Celtics are going to win the title, and we really can't, because this defense is going to translate to the playoffs, and it helps when you got a couple of guys in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that can do stuff like they did on Sunday. Both guys scored 30. And they guard their position, which, by the way, they're already better than any wing that Denver can throw out there. It was just such a mismatch from top to bottom for them. Peyton Pritchard hit 4 threes in this game. Denver's defense just did not show up. The Celtics shot 64.3% in the first half, and their bench outscored the Nuggets 29-14. And just like you said, if it's not Jokic for Denver, it's nobody. They have no one else. And it's because they don't have Jamal Murray and they don't have Michael Porter Jr., Keith.
Now, I don't know if this is an issue with Denver's defense, but if this specific Celtics team makes 19 of 40 three-pointers, that's the ballgame. Like, no one's ever beating this Celtics team. That is so good. By the way, Peyton Pritchard hasn't missed in 2 games. I want to say he's 11 for 11 in his last 2 games. No, this team, when they're knocking down shots, they're unbeatable. And, like, you look at the Nuggets, what are they supposed to do? Like, they put together a run. Like, Dave, they had a fourth quarter run that got, like, people excited. And it's like, all right, we're down by 16 now. Like, they had nothing to keep up with this team. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they've now had more 30-point games at the same time. I believe they passed Larry Bird and Kevin McHale for the most games where they both have 30 points in the same game. So, yeah, this Celtics team looks great. They're in fourth place. No one's catching them, Dave, in the East. The poor Bulls, I think they're a couple games back now and headed in the wrong direction.
And we'll update the playoff races at the end of the show, because it's in flux. Let's just say that. I mean, not only is Boston in the 4 spot right now, they're only a half game behind Milwaukee for the 2 seed. So when you're as hot as they are, that is definitely in play.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Another big game on Sunday, Keith. The hits just keep coming. I just can't pick games on the weekends, Keith. The schedule makers have just, they've blessed us. And they blessed us with Toronto and Philly. And they blessed us with yet another Philadelphia 76ers loss at home post James Harden trade. They just don't look great down the stretch, Keith. And it helps when the Raptors are playing pretty well. Pascal Siakam, 26 points, 10 rebounds. You get a huge game from Precious Achiuwa with 21 points. On a night when you need it, they didn't have Fred VanVleet. How does Philadelphia lose this game, Keith?
You said Toronto played well, which I think is up for debate. Like, their defense played well. They mucked it up. This looked like a college basketball March Madness game, Dave. This looked like two teams who had no business trying to put the ball in the basket. If you want to compare victories on Sunday, like, compare the Celtics victory, where as a team, they were 57% from the field. They made 47% of the threes. They made all of their free throws. Toronto won a basketball game with the following shooting splits. 37, 27, 69. Like, Toronto made 7 of 26 three-pointers. They scored 93 points, but it was enough to keep Joel Embiid and James Harden from getting the victory. Like you said, Fred VanVleet was resting his sore knee. They had Scottie Barnes bringing the ball up the court. Scottie Barnes, who struggled terribly shooting the basketball. Gary Trent Jr. has been off for a while in a pretty big slump, and yet it didn't matter. The length, the defense, the creativity was enough, and this Raptors team pulls out kind of a surprising win.
So James Harden misses a couple of free throws with Philadelphia down 87-86, and then he misses a driving layup with like a minute left, and the Sixers are down 3. And then, Keith, they get the ball back with like, you know, about 40 seconds left, and Joel Embiid turns the ball over. This team just will not run any offense, but they definitely will throw it away. Like they just cannot function down the stretch. And then it gets worse. You mentioned Scottie Barnes, the rookie, has a chance to ice the game. Misses a couple of free throws. That's what rookies do. They're not supposed to step up. But the guys who are supposed to step up, Keith, your Joel Embiids, your MVP caliber players, your James Hardens. What did James Harden do at the end of this game, Keith?
Well, the very last play, this is incredible. The very last play, after all these things already spelled out, he missed two free throws just in the last 2 minutes of the game. But the very final play, James Harden, referee manipulator, down by two, driving towards the bucket for the game-tying layup, he gets called for an offensive foul on a flagrant foul for elbowing Chris Boucher in the head. It's a correct call. They go and review it. It holds. So it's his fourth turnover of the quarter, and that's your ball game. James Harden in the fourth quarter did not make a field goal, had four turnovers. He made 2 of 4 free throws for 2 points. 2 points, 4 turnovers in this fourth quarter for James Harden. And it's like, if you're a Philly fan, I don't know what you're supposed to take from this game. Like, you don't want to face Toronto. You might face Toronto in the first round. And just they just mucked the game up enough, and Philly did not have offensive answers. And you thought they were supposed to, you know, when it came to these slower half-court games.
Sort of a side discussion here, Keith, because, you know, we follow the MVP race, especially when it's as cool as Joel Embiid and Jokic and Giannis, you know, that everything's so close. I got to say, man, this Harden thing feels like it's dragging Embiid's MVP case down, because he still had a decent game from a production standpoint, but It's not enough, and you can't lose high-profile games like this on a Sunday afternoon, Keith.
Well, you can't score 14 points in a fourth quarter. That's for the whole team. The Sixers scored 14 points.
They just don't run offense in the fourth.
Yeah, it was a mess. I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, the MVP cases, I think, are essentially unassailable for Embiid and Jokic, but they're both not trending in the correct direction in the very recent history. And it's not like Giannis has, like, really taken, you know, the bull by the horns. Giannis set out with a soreness or something. I believe a sore knee in their game this weekend. So, like, I guess the MVP race is still open. But you got to be disappointed with what you see from Philadelphia in this one. And specifically, The second weirdest ending of a game on Sunday with the flagrant foul from James Harden wiping away his attempt at a game-tying shot.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. Okay, Keith, let's sort of set the stage for the last couple weeks of the season, because the playoff race is heating up, but there's another race that's also heating up. It's the race to the bottom, Keith. Yes, the tankathon, the season-long race for ping pong balls. And we gotta give credit to the Oklahoma City Thunder for the tank job they've been doing. 1-9 in their last 10. And Keith, double whammy on Sunday. They lose a game in fantastic fashion, as they have been known to do. I mean, a lot of great losses, our friend Andrew Schleck would say. Fun losses. But it also helps when those losses are strategic losses.
They pulled out all the stops. They played the Orlando Magic, the team with the fewest home victories in the NBA this season. An incredible tank battle. And they understood the mission. And on March 20th, the day this game took place, Alexa Pokashevsky goes 3-for-20 from the field. He posts a 320 on 320. Also, his teammates, you have to recognize Aaron Wiggins, 0-for-8 from the field. Trey Mann, 5-for-19 from the field. The Thunder shot 32% as a team, and we're still in it. This game went down to the wire because, I mean, the Magic aren't any good. And both teams understood the mission. Like, maybe we shouldn't win. I mean, the players are trying to win, I guess. But the Thunder, with an unbelievable tank job, only managed 85 points and managed to lose to the Orlando Magic. And a beast mode performance by Wendell Carter, who posted 30 points and 16 rebounds. He did not get the memo. He was out there for blood and also racking up massive stats in this win.
Yeah, players don't tank, man. And this loss brings Oklahoma City to within 3 games of the Houston Rockets for that number one, what do we call that? That number one lottery slot.
Sure.
Also now within 1.5 games of Orlando Magic for the 2 spot. So still a chance for them to catch up. But we mostly like to celebrate the winners on this side, Keith. And now that the NBA has expanded the playoffs with the play-in, we get even more drama. And it also helps when you have those top 6 seeds being so tightly contested. So we did talk about some of the changes with Boston moving up into the top 4, which, you know, is a huge change, especially if you were in a coma for the last 4 months and you don't know what happened with the Boston Celtics, and they kind of turned things around, didn't have to fire their coach in spite of all of their fans calling for that. So in the East, you have Miami at 1, 3 games behind them, Milwaukee, and then again, Boston and Philadelphia now tied in the 3-4 spot, but Philadelphia has the tiebreaker, so they're in third. The Bulls have just been dropping like crazy. They're now only a game and a half over Toronto for that first play-in spot. So Toronto has an opportunity here. Not only could they pass Cleveland, who only leads them by a game, they could catch Chicago. So the East is very much in flux. I mean, Toronto has a chance here with as well as they've played, maybe not the last couple days or a couple games, but the last few weeks, certainly they could even be the 5 seed.
Well, on Monday night, you have Bulls-Toronto playing each other. Just a massive game for a Bulls team that's just kind of spiraling and doesn't want to be in the, you obviously don't want to be in the play-in, and especially when you know, like, the Nets are lurking in the play-in too. Like, it's suddenly this Bulls team, you know, your fans, I think you have to nervously be thinking, there's a scenario we don't make the playoffs. And that seemed unimaginable earlier in the year. And, like, the Bulls, now that's something I think has to be in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and over in the West, the Suns are, I mean, they are just a wins machine. They keep cruising, even though Chris Paul's out. I mean, why come back? Wait till the playoffs. Memphis is in the 2 spot. They now have a game and a half lead over the Warriors. Utah did their job this weekend, won 2 games, and Dallas lost 2 games. So now Utah has a 2-game cushion over the Mavs for the 4 spot, and that's huge for Utah. They need home court advantage. They are just historically a better team at home. They want to have that altitude causing problems. And honestly, like, if you're Utah, I think that you just are more comfortable being there anyway. And then Dallas now a game and a half ahead of Denver and Minnesota, who are tied for record, but Minnesota has the tiebreaker over Denver. So Minnesota right now, if the playoffs started today, Keith, Minnesota Timberwolves are in the playoffs.
Can we talk about how the Warriors ended up a game and a half behind the Grizzlies after Sunday night with their incredible snatching defeat from the jaws of victory?
Well, before we do that, let's talk about the play-in, because the Lakers and the Pelicans are now statistically tied. They have the same record, but the Pelicans hold the tiebreaker because they lead the season series 1-0. These two teams are going to play two more times, Keith, before the season's over, and the Spurs, your Spurs, who you enjoyed their game this afternoon, your Spurs are looming. They're only 2.5 games behind the Lakers and Pelicans. There's a chance that Greg Popovich forces out LeBron James and the Lakers.
It seems unimaginable because it feels like the Spurs have been tanking at times this year. I mean, they're not very good. They have a terrible record going into fourth quarters. They don't win close games. But yeah, like the Lakers are suddenly, like they're, like you said, they're tied with the Pelicans, and they've already lost the first game of the series. And they're I'm not optimistic that the Lakers are going to beat the Pelicans twice more. The Pelicans are actually winning games even without Brandon Ingram now. Like it used to be, they could never win if Brandon Ingram was out. But like they just got a bunch of guys playing well together. Like Jose Alvarado does stuff. And like Valanciunas had a big game on Sunday. Jackson Hayes has been playing a lot of minutes. And this team, like, I think like their vibes, they like each other. I don't know if you've watched a Lakers game recently. The vibes are poor, Dave. And like I think there's a chance. There's like a non-remote chance that, yeah, can the Spurs not catch this Lakers team that doesn't ever seem to win? They pulled out a huge kind of upset over the Raptors and then followed it up on Saturday with a kind of stunning loss to a Kuzma-less Wizards team. Like the Lakers are in a world of hurt, and like the Pelicans are feeling pretty good, I think, about their playing chances now.
Yeah, you said the Lakers vibes are bad. The Lakers look like they hate the sport of basketball sometimes when they're playing. I mean, it's the vibes are awful. There are no vibes. It's methane gas emanating from that team. It's awful. Real quick before we go, Keith, end of Spurs Warriors, crazy finish. Jakob Poeltl,
I guess he's the hero. It was a strange ending to the game. It looked like the Warriors were going to win the basketball game. There was a loose ball foul. Andrew Wiggins goes to the foul line with 3 seconds left. 3 seconds left in a tie basketball game. He makes the first. He misses the second. But unfortunately, there's a rebounding foul. For some reason, Kevon Looney's climbing all over Jakob Poeltl's back with 2 seconds left. Warriors fans are outraged. They think Ed Malloy has it out for him because Draymond Green's already been ejected from this game. But anyway, Jakob Poeltl who'd been pulled from this game when they got in the bonus by Greg Popovich because he doesn't want him to shoot free throws. Poeltl has a chance to win the game at the foul line. He knocks down the first one to tie it. He misses the second one, but Keldon Johnson gets the rebound, puts it in. Offensive rebound off the missed free throw, and suddenly the Spurs have a huge upset win over the Warriors. The Warriors do not maintain pace with the Grizzlies. They fall game and a half back, and like we've been talking about, the Spurs suddenly are looking up at the Lakers and being like, hey, they're not that far away. Maybe we should go for it.
That's going to do it for the show, folks. Hope you guys have a great start to your week. Keith, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.